Is daf yud ches. We got to the last line of yud zayin amud beis. The Gemara says, Toshma, the Gemara is bringing proofs back and forth between Abai and Rava about being somich, putting a bor or any other type of building or next to the border of your friend. So the Gemara says, Toshma marchikines a gefes. We say gefes again was the leftovers of the olives, v'sa zevel, manure, v'sa melach, the salt, v'sa sid, the plaster, all these things, v'sa slum, which we learned was coals. You have to separate mikoslel shel chavero shlosha tvachim. Oh, sad besid, you have to separate a three tzvachim from your friend's property or from his wall, or you have to plaster it in order to protect from any of the elements coming out of your boar, of your salt, or whatever you're using. So Gemara says, time with ika kosel only because my friend has a pre-existing wall in his pit. Ha leka kosel, had he not had a kosel just yet, he had no boar that's dug in his property, I can be somech, I could put a mamish up to his property. Only because he has a kosel, they need to separate it. Had there not been a kosel, I could somech it. So the Gemara says, lo, ki leka kosel, nami lo somech. Even if my neighbor doesn't have a bor yet and a kosel just yet, I still need to give that buffer in case he wants to build one later on. You cannot be somech. So elamai kamashman, what are we learning from here? Why does the Mishnah present it in such a way that you have to separate from his kosel? Even if there wasn't a kosel, you would still have to be marchik. So Gemara says, "My kamash melon, ha kamash melon, dehani kashu lekosa." To tell me that these types of things are also going to damage the kosa, the salt and then the cold, all these things are going to damage the kosa. But ain't a chanami, even if the kosa isn't there just yet, you still have to do your tefachim of harchaka. Then the Gemara quotes another raya. Tashma marchikines hazroim v'sa machrisha v'sa meraglaim in a kosa. You have to separate these things as well from the guy's kosel, shlosha tvachim. So Gemara says the same dik. Time with ika kosel, only because my friend already has a wall that's there. But ha leka kosel, had he not had a wall, samach, I can mamish build my, place my zraim and my machrisha and my meraglaim, mamish up to the line, the border here, because he has no wall. Gemara says again, no. Lo. Kidlaka kosel nami lo samach. Even if my friend doesn't have a boar just yet, he doesn't have a kosel just yet, I still cannot be somach. You're not allowed to be somach. You have to leave the proper buffer. So Ella again, my kamash milan. What are we learning from here? Ha kamash milan dimasunta kashul kosel. That moisture, Rashi says davar lach. Moisture, it ruins the wall as well. So these things are, have moisture. Zroim, you end up watering. And the machrisha, I'm not sure why the machrisha has a davar lach to it, but certainly the meraglaim is a davar lach. So these things have moisture, which are going to damage the guy's property.
It
softens it, but it's not moisture like the Gemara here. So that's a chance. I'm not sure why Machrish is on the list, according to the simple reading of the Gemara, why it's moisture, unless you have to learn like what Tosaf was saying in the beginning, that there's, you know, you may put water in afterwards, but Tosaf wasn't referring to Machrish, he's referring to the boar and the shiach and the mara. So I'm not sure why this is here for moisture. Could be made this Gemara is only referring to the meraglaim. It's not a chiddush on the other two. Not sure. I don't see anybody address this, though.
Once you plow, you're going to put the seeds in. Then the seeds, you're going to water.
Uh-huh. So it's all part of that same process.
Plowing needs to the seed.
Okay. Fine. Right. The Gemara now says, Toshma, another raya. V'esarechayim shloshim min ha-shechev shein dal merechev. When you place a mill on your property, it needs to be three tvachim from his boar, his kosel, and which means the top will be four tvachim away because the top is more narrow. So Gemara says, min taima d'ika kosel, only because my neighbor already has a kosel, do I need to separate a three and four tvachim. Ha leka kosel, had he not had a wall yet, samich, I can mamish put my rechev, mamish up to the property line. Gemara says, lo, not true. Ki leka kosel, nami lo samich. Even if my friend doesn't have a wall just yet, I still cannot be somich to the property line. So elamai kamash b'lon. Ha kamash b'lon, de tiria kash lekosel. Tiria also affects the wall. What's tiria, says Rashi on the top. I tune here. Apparently, Adam's good at reading French. I don't know what that means, though. Kimo ditari l'resha. What it means is shaking. There's some type of shaking and trembling that's going on here. When the mill moves, that's going to, of course, weaken the kosel. So that's what we learn. There are a few different elements that ruin the wall. There's moisture, and then there's the hevel that come from the cement, and then there's the shaking of the ground. The Mara brings another example, Raya, Toshma. Vesatanur shloshim min kilya shein dalam min asafa. So I need to separate my oven. Three tvachim, the bottom has to be, which is the kilya, has to be three tvachim from his wall. And the top of the oven, which is more narrow, is four tvachim away from his wall. So taima dika kosel, only because my neighbor has a wall, do I have to separate it? Ha leka kosel, had there not been a wall, samich I could mamish put my oven up into the property line. And the Gemara again says, lo, ki leka kosel nami lo samich. Even if my neighbor doesn't have a wall yet, I cannot be samich. Ela mai kamash milan, what do we learn from this? That the ha kamash milan, the hevle kosh le kosel, that the hevel is also going to affect the wall as well. Okay, the heat, the smoke. So then the Gemara says another raya. Toshma lo yiftach et adam chanus shel nachtomim vel shel tzavoim tachas otro shel chavero. A person is not allowed to open up a store, bakery, nachtomim, a bakery. Or did I skip?
No.
Yeah, I'm good. So a guy can't open up a bakery or a store that was do dyeing of colors underneath my friend's storage house. That's not allowed. And below refes bakar, nor can you open up a refes bakar. So look at Rashi just for some of the metzias. See, Rashi explains chanus shel nachtomim, two lines down, is mochay lechem shemasikin sham or tamid. There's constant fire in the bakery. It's very, very hot. Remember,
I
didn't.
I think we had, there was a rechaim and there was the tanur.
Yeah, I did both of them. Yeah.
Oh, you did both.
Yeah. So I remember in maybe Tani remembers this in YU, one of our friends. He went to Shalvin with you. He's a doctor. Anyways, he lived right above Time Out, the pizza store in the Heights. So their apartment smelled like a pizza store. what's her name? Dasi and
Itibar.
They lived in Mamish right above the Time Out there. And went there for lunch, it smelled like the Time Out pizza there. So if you the person's not allowed to open up the Nachtomim because there's constant fire and the smoke and the smell, it goes into their apartment. And then Rashi explains further that Otsar is an aliyah, it's an attic, she'otin botvul, where they'd keep their grain stored, v'shemen v'yayin, and their wine and the olive stored in the Otsar, v'ashan kashlem, and what the smoke of the bakery is going to ruin the wine and the olive oil and then the tvua. And nor can you open up lo refes bakar either, which is hareach kashlem, the smell. You can imagine the smell of having a kettle below your otzer. It's going to obviously ruin the food. So that's why, again, the Gemara says you cannot open up a bakery or a store of tzvayim or a refes bakar below a person's otzer. So the Tosos argues on Rashi. Look at Tosos, lo yiftach adam chanus shel nachtomim. He argues and says, kot peish Rashi, mishum she'ashan kashle otzer, that the smoke ruins my storage house. The kashler beinu tam to the kaman. Later on, we see amar b'yayin hetiru shemashbichu v'ashan v'adei mazik liyan. Later on, the Gemara allows you to open up a bakery below a wine factory because the bakery actually enhances the wine. But if it's really the smoke, according to Rashi, ashan v'adei maziko, certainly smoke will ruin wine. The yayin meushan pasul l'nesachim, because smoked wine is pasul l'nesachim. Now, that is an interesting riot, he's saying. Just because smoked wine is possible for the Nesachim doesn't mean it's less of a value wine. I mean, the criteria for what wine can be used for Nesachim and the Mizbeach might not be about what's better. It might be what's more natural. That's the problem. When it comes to Yayin Mevushel, according to some, Yayin Mevushel, everyone agrees, cannot be used on the Mizbeach. But some say Yayin Mevushel is actually better. Now, we typically don't say that, but they say it's better. Well, if it's better, why can't it be used on the Mizbeach? The idea is that they want natural wine to be used in the Mizbeach. That's the difficulty. Just because Mu'ushan, Yain Mu'ushan's puzzle doesn't mean it's inferior. So that's not a Kashya in Rashi. That's how Rashi would respond. It is better wine. It's just puzzle in the Mizbeach because it's not natural.
Isn't that the Gemara and Brachas? That's how they try to decide whether you make Kiddush Bracha, they compare it to whether you can use it on the Mizbeach, right?
The Gemara and Babasa. Babasa, yeah. Exactly, very good. So the Rambam Paskins actually that you have to, Rambam holds that the wine that can be used must be wine, for Kiddush, must be wine that's used in the Mizbeach. So if you look in, in the Kedem bottle, so some say they're naturally sweet. So they can't have any additives, because if you want to be Machmir for the Rambam, that has to be good kosher wine based on what's good in the Mizbeach, cannot have any additives, no added fruit juices. Exactly. So that's what the skinny bottles and the big bottles and the Kedem, the big bottles are not Mevushel.
They're not Mevushel,
exactly.
And that's the reason?
Yeah. I assume that's one of yeah. Otherwise, there's no taste. No one can tell the difference. Whoever is a connoisseur doesn't care about kedem wine being mevushel.
So
it's only for this halacha.
Yeah,
because those are makbid for the Rambam, the ain mevushel, and then you want an added chumrah to have naturally sweet. Then you get those naturally sweet wines for the shittas Rambam. But of course, the other problems of leaving ain mevushel in your house.
I thought there was something with the size of the bottle that they couldn't do. Yeah, no.
Understood
why.
Yeah, that's the idea. Okay, so anyway, so the Tosa ends up saying the challenge of the reason why a bakery below the storage house is a problem, not because of the smoke, rather because the hevel, this, I'm not sure how, not the smell, the heat, I guess, or the heat of it going up, the steam, not the smoke, but more the steam and the heat that goes up. Fine. The Gemara now says, so back to the Gemara. So again, a person cannot open up a bakery or a dyeing place or a refus bakar cattle below the otzer. Time with the otzer only because the guy has an otzer beforehand. Holeka otzer, had the guy not had an otzer, ovid, I could build it. So I could mamish be somechit. So the Gemara says, you can't be Uriah that you could build these things below, because Dira Shiny, what does Dira mean? So Rashi explains, very important here, Dira Shiny, four lines down, Chonus V'refetz Bakar, Dirasun Shal Adamein. They're the living quarters, not really living quarters, but they're considered like the Dira. Vein Lanu La'asar Dirasun Alav Elam Kein Hehezek Mucha. They don't live there, but this is their Parnasa, this is their livelihood. This is where they get parnasa. So a guy has a bakery, wants to open up, he's allowed to open up. If the guy has an otzer on the top attic, then I can open up the bakery. Had he not had one, so then I could open up, I could be somech to his property, even though he might want to change it to an otzer later on, because since that's my livelihood, I have a special kula here. I'm allowed to open up a bakery anywhere, so long as there's no otzer above it just yet. So this is the one case where you can be somech. So the Gemara says,
we're talking about under, right? Nothing.
Yeah. Is it different? We're no longer talking about adjacent to each other, but under and below, it's the same concept of being somech vertically versus horizontally. It's the same idea the Gemara assumes. And the Gemara says, Dekanami, this is also very exact, the Tani Allah, because it says on this, there's a comment, in Mahayisa, Refes Bakar, Kodemes, Lotzar, Mutter. The Refes Bakar, if I had my cattle in my bottom apartment, and it comes before you make your otzer in the top apartment, this is completely Mutter. So what's this Dekanami? There's a big machlokas. What's the proof here? How do you know that deer is different? So look what Rashi says here. Rashi says, the Katani Allah, and then the big machlokas we showed him, we're going to do just Rashi here. The Katani Allah, Tiahi im ha'isa refes bakar kodemis l'otzer mutter. If the cattle was in the bottom apartment first, before you made it into an otzer on top, that's permitted. U'bechul hu shar hachakos, the masnisin lotani hachi. All the other hachakos of the Mishnah, we don't have such a din. If it came first, it's all permitted. We don't have such a concept. Shmamina hacha mishum de dira shiny. This world of building a bakery, the world of livelihood, is a very different halacha. Just like if I came first, you can't make me move, so too I can mamish be somich. There's a special halacha by dira. Okay, Gemara now quotes another raya, Tashma. La yita adam ilan samech lasada. I cannot plant a tree next to your property line, next to your field, ela im kein hirchik mimeno dal amos, unless I have 4 amos of a buffer. Vitani Allah. And the Brisa comments on this Mishnah, Dal Amos Shamru Kidei Avodas HaKerem. You need some 4 amos in order to work the kerem, to work around the vineyard, to work around the trees, to plow. You need that space to plow around it. So the Gemara explains now, Taima de Mishum Kidei Avodas Kerem, only because you need some space for the plow to work through. Ha Lav Mishum Kidei Avodas Kerem, had not been for that, then Samech, I can be Samech up to the property line. Okay. So the Gemara says, V'yaf agav d'ika shrashim d'kamazke. Even though the roots are going to end up growing out below the property and damaging your sadeh, I'm still out to go somech to the property. So you see, had it not been for kedei avodas kerem, you can mamish be somech. Gemara says, no, here's different hacha, b'maya skinan d'mafsik tsunma. This is a different case where there's a tsunma, where there's some rock below the ground, where the roots cannot go through, they cannot penetrate through into your property. That's the case where you can be somich. And the only reason why you have to separate, not because of the roots, because roots can't go through, you need to separate for almost for the plow to go around. But mamish had not been for that. You can mamish go up until the property line because there's no concern that tsunma is protecting it. But had the tsunma not been there, had it not been a rock in the ground, then you wouldn't be able to be somich. Gemara says further, Hadekanami Tikatani, it's very exact to say this, that haya geder bein time, if there's a wall between the two properties, ze somech legeder mikan, ze somech legeder mikan, they could both neighbors could plant up until the line. So that proves to us that how do you go up to the line? Isn't there a concern that the roots are going to go into each other's property? Must be that there's the tsunma, the rock, either the natural rock or the walls built below the ground, whereby it's blocking any penetration from the roots on the side. So this is a different exception. That's when you can be somech, when the roots are being blocked. Yach, if that's the case, asks the Gemara. Ema Seifa, look at the end of the Mishnah. It says, Hayushrash of Yotzin Besoch Shel Chavero, Mamik, If the roots end up penetrating into the guy's property, so the guy is allowed to go deep into his property and dig three tzvachim deep in order to cut off the root so it doesn't block his, ruin his, break his plow. Now, if we're talking about a scenario where there's a rock that's blocking between the two properties, so how in the world did any roots get through that rock? So obviously we're talking about a case where there is no tzuma, there is no rock, yet we still see you're allowed to be sober. Mar says, no. Hachi kamar, you need to reread the Mishnah. V'i lav tzuma, the second half of the seif is a case, and if there's not a tzuma, if there is no rock, v'hayu shrashav yotzin l'toch shechaveru, which would then allow the guy's tree's roots to go into my property, then the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us that mamik shlosh tvachim, the neighbor could dig three tvachim deep into his own property to remove the roots that are there, kidei shel yakev hamachrisha, so it doesn't ruin the property.
Okay. So the wall has nothing to do with the line, right?
Yeah, this case here has nothing to do with it.
Right. It's just now, because of the Hezekiah.
Correct. Rashi quotes the whole thing here about the climb in general, how climb works.
Right.
But for our Gemara right now, it's irrelevant. Okay. Gemara quotes another raya. Tashma. Marchikines ha'ilan min habor esim v'chamish amma. If there's a boar and I want to build a tree, so I need to separate it in my property 25 amos from the boar. Taimadik, a boar, only because you already have a pre-existing boar. Ha'lek a boar. Had you not had a boar, samach ha'kin mamish put my tree next to the property line. So Gemara says, lo, not true. Ki leka bor nami lo samech. Even if you don't have a bor, I still can't be samech. So what's it teaching us here? Hakamash mlon de'ad esen v'chamesh ama azle shrashim v'matzki the bor. How far do roots expand? They go 25 amos. Now, this is really not so true all the time. I mean, many trees go less, many trees go more. When I was down in Florida, we saw a tree that could sometimes be as wide as many acres long. It has roots that come above ground, and because it has that strong roots, it go acres long. One tree, it looks like probably many trees if you see it in the wild, but it's really all one tree. So certainly some trees could go beyond that. So I'm not sure why they chose 25 amos. There must be a reason. I don't know why. But I'm just saying that not every tree grows very differently. But what they're learning from the Gemara here is that their 25 amos is the separation next. That's how far roots will expand. So ihachi, that's the case. Ema seifa, look at the seifa. V'im ilan kadam lo yakutz. If the tree came first, and then you put your boar within that 25 amos radius, so you came after me, I don't have to cut down the tree. Now, v'i dilo samach heichem mishkachas lo. If there's a halacha that I always have to separate my tree 25 amos from your property line, there should never be a case where you could dig a boar within those 25 amos. I did it incorrectly in the first place. All right, again, we're saying as follows, that the Mishnah says, whenever you build a tree, it has to be 25 amos from a boar. And even the Gemara says, even if there is no boar, you still have to separate 25 amos from that property line in case he wants to build a boar. So then the Gemara says, but if he builds a boar and you're within 25 amos, you don't have to cut down your tree. How does he ever get within 25 amos of your tree? Your tree should always be 25 amos from the property line. Has it ever happened? So answers the Gemara, what's the case of a buyer? So it says Rashi, I've got this big field, and I build a tree, I plant a tree rather in the center of the field. Acharkach, I need to sell some of my property. So acharkach, mocher chetzi sadeh, I sell half my property, leishachar, to some other guy. Now that guy builds a boar. So now in that case, since I sold the land right up into the tree line, so now he could build a boar 2 amos away from it. That's the one scenario where you could have a boar being dug within 25 amos of some other guy's tree when it's been sold.
If you bought the property, it's my property that happens to have a tree on it.
Happens to have a tree on it. Right, the first guy who bought who planted the tree, how did he have the right to plant the tree on the border? So it could be maybe a goy who doesn't have these halachas, maybe. Could be that as well. Or it could be just the hefker property as well. And no one had any rules to follow. Could be that.
Trees also sprout.
Right. Right. So, okay, I hear. Okay. The Gemara now says, Tashma. Marchikin is a mishra min ayerek. Vesakrisha min abetelem. You have to separate the mishra. Mishra, Rashi explains, is the water they used to soak flax in. Those who learned the first parak of Shabbos, they'd put flax in water and they'd soak it and it'd take it some process, I don't know. And then you have to separate that water from the vegetables because it ruins the vegetables. And also the Cretian from Salem. Cretian is a karti. I always forget these where these terms are from, the different the leeks. And Salem from the onions, a chardal, the mustard, and minadvorim. You have to separate mustard from the bees. So these things, because they damage each other, the how so? Taima dika yarek, only because my neighbor has carrots growing in his yard, I cannot place the flaxing soaking area next to it. Halaka yarek, if he not had vegetables growing in his yard, then I could be mamish shomich, I could put my mashra next to his property line. Gemara says, lo, not true. Kileka yarek nami lo samech, even if he doesn't have vegetables growing, I still cannot place this water next to his property. We're learning from this Mishnah here that these actually affect each other. They ruin each other. That this water where I'm soaking the flax is going to negatively impact the vegetables. That's what we learned from here. But ein echanami, you cannot be somech. Yihachi, that's the case. This is the famous Ema Seifa. Look at the Seifa. Rabbi Yossi Matir. Bechardel bipnei sheyachal omar lo. So Rabbi Yossi is Matir. Rabbi Yossi permits you to place the mustard and the honey, the bee rather, next to each other. Bipnei sheyachal omar lo ad shata omar li, until you say to me, harchek chardelcha min advorai, harchek dvorcha min achardelai. So what's going on here? So you have bees in your property, you're growing bees and they're making honey, and I decide to place mustard next to my next to the property line. So what's the problem of mustard and bees? So look at Rashi says here, seven lines up, Eschardel minadvorim, she'ochlin eschardel, u'mechadet espiam, it burns their mouth, u'veochlis advash shelahen, and they end up eating their own honey. Normally the bees, I guess, don't eat their own honey, they just produce the honey. But then they get a spicy flavor, so they eat the honey to sweeten it. So now the mustard is ruining all their honey. So my bee placed my chardel next to the honeycombs, it's ruining the dvash. So the guy tells me to separate my chardel away. So that's what the Tanakhama says, I need to, the chardel is the mazik. It's mazik, so I need to separate the mazik from the bees. So Rav Yossi says, wait a second, why do I need to separate it? Why don't you take your honey factory and move it to the other side of your property away from my chardel? Why is it incumbent upon me? It should be incumbent upon you. So Rav Yossi argues. So now the Gemara says, so again,
So
the honey was here first. Sounds like the honey was here first. And then now I go ahead and place my chardal next to the property line near where your honey, where your bees are. So now the Gemara says again, Rabbi Yossi says, Mipnei sheyachal lomar lo, he could say, Ad shata omer li, before you say to me, Harchek chardalecha min dvorai, you say to me, move my mustard from your bees. I'm going to say to you, Harchek dvorcha min chardalai, you move your bees away from my honey, my mustard. Shebos v'ochos liglule chardalai, because they are eating my mustard. They're ruining, they're actually mazing my mustard. What's liglule chardalai? Look in Amud Beis now. Rashi Satos is right on the top of Yud Ches Mebeis, quoting Rashi, he says, Prachim, they're eating my flowers, the mustard, I don't know how mustard seeds grow exactly, but they're eating the flowers. And Tosis quotes an opinion that they're eating the seeds. And he quotes another opinion that they're eating the branches. They're somehow ruining my mustard bush. I don't know what you call it, but mustard something.
So before the Rambam says, which probably is more scientific, that the chardal, it goes into the, you know, when they eat it, it ruins the taste of the dvash when they process it.
Ah, as opposed to Rashi, where they end up eating it.
I think it's more scientific than Rambam.
Okay, I have no idea. I'm not sure. Rashi also was familiar with the outdoors. Rashi had a wine factory, so he knew something about agriculture. But either way, so I was interested. I didn't know that. So Rambam says because it ruins the production of the honey.
Right, the taste of the honey tastes different when they eat hard.
Okay.
It's a mustard flavor.
Okay, it could be nice. A fancy type of honey now.
Honey mustard.
Right, that's where it comes from. Right, exactly. Okay.
Dressing,
So that's the response of Rabbi Yossi. So what's the question here? So the Gemara says on the top of Amud Beis, Vidlo Samech Heich Mishkachas Lo. Now, if it's true that you cannot place it next to each other, how can it be Samech? What does that mean? Look at Rashi in the top here. Vidlo Samech Inish Hezek Lemetzar Chavero. If a guy is not allowed to put some type of mazik next to the border between the two neighbors, Afilu Bishein Sham Davar Nizak, even if the Nizak's not there. V'ishlei the Rabbi Yossi, Elu Shnei Mazikinim. So Rabbi Yossi holds that both parties are mazik. The bees are mazik the chardal, and the chardal is mazik the bees. V'heicha mishkachas la delismo chachar minayu bereisha harichaveru ma'akev alav. So in the way that the case is presented, it sounds like the bees were there first. So now later on, I try to put my mustard here, and you stop me. But they ask the Gemara, how could the honeys be placed there first? That's also a davar mazik. The dvorim are mazik my mustard. So you shouldn't be able to place the honey next to your property line. You should also distance it. We should both distance it. So the fact that you allow the honey to be next to the line indicates that the first come, first serve, you can be somech. That's what the Gemara concludes.
Maybe because the person might plant the
exactly. Mustard. And that's the whole discussion of being somech.
Not so likely. I mean, in the other cases, like there's a wall, a door, or whatever, maybe it's more likely.
Right, so that goes into yesterday's discussion whether it's a sada hasuya leboros or is it a sada hasuya ledvorim or chardav. So we end up saying about some say we don't care. Even if it's not a suya for anything, you always have to anticipate that guy might use his property for the same thing. So, yeah.
But it's one thing if you're saying, okay, the roots might go if you, you know, the three tefachim, they might reach to the other side and ruin it, but these can fly. Even if you moved it, you know,
granted,
more than three tefachim, it's, you're still going to have the same problem.
Yes, again, scientifically, I don't know. I don't know if it's closer in proximity, you're held responsible. If it's wider, so they have millions of directions
like
they could go in.
Look,
if it's mamish in their face, it's like tempted. If it's like 10 amos away, so they'll go to other places to find food. So I don't know. How could it be, though, that they could place the honey right up to the border? So answers the Gemara, Amar Papa Belokech. That's the case also, Lokech. I had a property. I was growing bees and harvesting, you know, whatever you do with bees, and you have the bees and the honey. And then I sold half my property. So now it turned out where I sold it was mamish by the border of the honey. So that's how you could have a case where the honey bees are mamish up to the border. Had not been for that, ain't a chanami, you cannot be somich the devorim to the property line. So asks the Gemara now, Ibe Lokeach, if it's a case of Lokeach, my taima dirabanan. So why do the Rabbanan say what they say, that the chardal, what do they say again? Let's see, the Rabbanan say that the chardal has to move away from the line if it's a case of one property. One second here. I think the assumption here is that the initial owner had both honeys and chardal growing together. It wasn't that I came along and planted the chardal as a new neighbor. I had both of them here together. I had a honey bush or a honeycombs, and I had a mustard bush. And then I decided to split it in half. This guy gets that, and I get this part. So in that situation, no one's responsible because initially I could do whatever I want on my own property. I wanted to make honey mustard flavored, so that was my intention. Now I cut it in half. So there's no responsibility. I can't make the chardal guy move away. It was planted initially with Rishus. That's question one. The Ode, moreover, the Gemara asks, my time at the Rabbi Yossi. What's the reason for Rabbi Yossi? Afilu Misha V'Yarkanami. If it's a case of Lokeach, Rabbi Yossi only argued by chardal and Devorim, that he says either one has a taina, so they're both allowed to go up to the property line because they're both mazik each other. But he admitted to the case of the vegetables and the flax water, that must be separated. Now, if it's a case of a lokeach, where I, as initial owner, I owned all the property, I placed my flax water here and I placed my vegetables here, that was completely permitted. I could do whatever I want on my property. I decided to sell half of it, so you shouldn't have to be caused to be distanced, because initially they were both positioned there with full rishus.
Is the case where both are already previously to the sale, or the case is that one of them is previous to the sale and the guy who didn't know who buys it?
So initially we thought that the guy who bought it, he had added something new.
Right.
But what the Gemara is assuming now is that
it's
both of them were there together.
There.
Both there, and therefore there's nothing,
right.
Never iser at the same at the time. They were both permitted. And now you sell it off, so the new buyer needs to take his chardel tree and move it away, or move his flax water and move it away. That's what the Gemara is assuming right now.
Sounds like Rashi learned that it was just the chardal first, or there was just the mishra there, and then Lokeach.
I mean, the davar mazik was there first.
Yeah.
There's a lot of discussion here. We have to take just a simple approach to this Gemara, but as you can see, there's a lot to talk about here.
Is it that there's no issa, or that nobody has a taina that he was there first?
Both. I mean, I could do whatever I want on my property. There's no issa, and also you can't make a taina because this is how the property was when you bought it. So comes along Amar Ravina. Ravina explains how Kasavri Rabbanan, the Rabbanan, are of the opinion Al Hamazik Laharchik Es Asma. They assume that the Mazik, the Chardel, and the Mishra, they always have to move. The other Mazik always has to move away. Michla, that indicates that the Rabbi Yossi Savar Al Hanizak Laharchik Es Asma. No, the Mazik could do whatever he wants. If you want to be protected, you as a Nizak, you have to protect yourself, and you move away. The Nizak has to move, and if he doesn't, it's his own fault. He's walking into danger. So it asks the Gemara,
Didn't we say that the taina of the other guy is that it's not clear who the mazik is?
I mean, his argument back is that your mustard is messing with my bees.
Right, so but he holds that, that's fine. Rabbi Yossi holds it's never the mazik's responsibility. If you think you're being affected by my bees, you move your chardal away. And the chardal thinks he's being affected, so you move it away. The mazik's never responsible when it comes to the halachas of hachaka.
It's not the question of it doesn't make, it's not clear who the mazik is.
Yeah, it's just a question of, in Nizak, it's you, who it's your fault. Right. You want to...
Whoever the one is being affected.
Yeah, make a decision and move over a few amos, few tvachim. So the Gemara says, so that's the machlokas here between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi. That's why Rabbi Yossi allows them to leave the chardal and the dvorim up into the property line, because if you're a davar nizak, you can move away if you so choose. So then the Gemara explains that, wait a second here. E al hanizak afil mishav yarkinami. If Rabbi Yossi really thinks that a nizak, it's his responsibility to move if he doesn't want to get damaged, so he should say the same thing by the yarek and the mishra. He doesn't argue by that case. He allows the dvorim and the chardal to be up into the same property line, but he seems to agree that the mishra, the mazik, has to be moved from the yerk. But if he really holds the davar nizak, it's his responsibility to move. So even there he should argue and say, no, the mishra has every right to go up to the property line. Have the yerk, have the bal hayerk, the vegetable guy, move his vegetables away. So El Eliolim, really the Gemara says that Rabbi Yossi nami ala mazik svirle. He really agrees that the mazik has to move away. That's why the mishra has to move away. V'hachi kamar lehu Rabbi Yossi l'rabbanan. Rabbanan, this is what Rabbi Yossi says. Tinach Mishra Vyarka, the honey mazki honey, vahani lo mazgani. It's a very simple case. When you have the flax water and the vegetables, we clearly know who the mazik is. The Mishra is the mazik. The Mishra needs to move away. I agree in that case. But El Chardal v'Devarim, Tervayu mazki adadi. They both are damaging each other. And therefore, I can't tell one over the other to separate because they're both mazik. So therefore, it's a draw and no one has to be marchik. And to which the Rabbanan respond, Rabbanan devorim lechardal lo mazkile. No, it's only one directional. The mustard ruins the bees and the honey. But the bees do not ruin the mustard. Why? Ibibinasa, if they're eating a bibinasa, which are the garinim, says Rashi, the seeds, lo mishkachasle. I guess it's not common that they eat the seeds. Ibitarfa, if it's eating the flower, hadar pari, it's going to regrow itself. It always comes back. So therefore, you don't view the devorim as being mazik. It's only one directional. So that's why even in the case of chardal and the dvorim, Rabban hold the chardal is a mazik and the chardal has to move.
So there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi on the concept that according to Rabbi Yossi, the dvash is mazik.
The dvorim are mazik. Yes. Machlokes is whether the dvorim are considered mazik or not. What the machlokes is, it sounds like whether it's a... What? I'm not sure. I would view mazik as the present or long term. So right now they ate my flower, so it ruined my field, my flowers here. So Rabbanan says that no, long term. Look at it long term. Over a few weeks, it's going to regrow itself back. That's not considered hezek.
The bees are permanently affected by eating the chardal. Like it's not just that honey that they do then. Like in the future, forever their honey will either like the Rambam taste bad or not.
Yeah, I
or
guess so.
Eat their own honey forever.
Yeah, I guess what it sounds like, right? Something like that, right? Fine. So right now, but they say conceptually, they both agree it's always the mazik's responsibility to separate. To which the Gemara now challenges this. V'savar Rabbi Yossi ala mazik laharchi katatmo. Does Rabbi Yossi really think that the mazik always has to move?
So he explains that even short term, because they said that once the bees taste the leaves and they're very strong, they're not going to come back and do it again. Because they don't like it.
So it's long term damage.
It's right, medium.
They're going to move away. They're going to move elsewhere.
They'll never go back to the tree because they know that it's bad. But
Oh, that tree or the honey? They're going to move locations entirely.
No. It says here,
it's not long. They're not going to keep eating the flowers.
Right.
Eat it once and they learn. It's like the dog with the electric fence. Once they get shocked, right? So then they learn. Okay, the bees are smarter than we thought. Fine. So the Gemara says now, V'savar Rabbi Yossi ala mazik laharcha kitatzmo. Does Rabbi Yossi really think that the mazik is always his responsibility to distance? That's not. The Mishnah tells us later on that Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afa pisha bor kodemis leilan. Even though the boar was there before the tree, lo yikots you don't have to. If I go ahead and build the tree, the tree is a mazik and the boar is the nizak, right? The boar doesn't do anything to the tree. But the tree and the roots ruin the boar. So the boar came first. The boar is kodemus l'ilam. I don't have to cut down my tree. I have my property land. I can do whatever I want in my house, and you can do whatever you want in your house. There are no rules of harchaka according to Rabbi Yossi. So how come Rabbi Yossi says, by the Mishra case, he says the flax water does need to be separated? He holds the nizak wants to escape damage. It's his responsibility to escape it. So what's he going on here? He's explaining in the world of the Rabbanan who hold that's the Mazik's responsibility. In that world, he says, Lididi, my understanding of you is that Al Hanizak of me is Al Hanizak Laharchik Asma. I hold that the Nizak has the distance. Even in the world of the Mishra of Yarka, where it's one directional, where it's clear who the Mazik is, still, if you want to escape damage, you move your Yerek. But according to you, Rabbanim, you hold al hamazik that the mazik always has to move. So I understand the case, tinach mishra v'yarka. That case I understand why you make the mishra, the flax water, to move. The honey mazki honey, because the mishra ruins the yarek, but honey lo mazki honey, but the yarek doesn't ruin the mishra. So that I understand in your world. But when it comes to this case, el achar davadvorim, where tervayu mazki adadi, where they're both damaging each other, so how come you're saying, who's the mazik here? They're both mazik. So no one should have to remove it. They should both be as close as they want. And then it's a draw. To which Rabban respond again, no, devorim l'charda lo mazkile. No, devorim don't ruin the mustard, because if they're eating the seeds, lo mishkachas, that's very uncommon. They don't eat this. Rashi explains, ha devora l'fishu tamen b'sharvitu. It's the seeds are hidden somewhere in the, I don't know, the stems, wherever it is, so they're not going to find them. Vibatarfa, it's referring to eating the flower or the leaves, hadarpari, they're going to regrow. Okay, we will stop here, and Mirza Hashem will pick up tomorrow. Everyone have a safe day, stay warm. Yeah.